Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, March 8th, 2021. To begin with, please note that this meeting is being recorded and we do place the audio of all our meetings on our website, which is wmata.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone calls. You can press *6 to mute and or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make some comments, you can raise your virtual hands by pressing *9 to raise and lower your virtual hands. Everyone joining through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. You can find the hand icon by going to the participants list. If you click on it once, it'll raise your virtual hand. If you click on it again, it'll lower your virtual hands. We do have interpreters on the call with us, so I would really appreciate, and I know they both appreciate, if you state your name first before you make your comments. It helps them do their job well. It helps everyone on the phone call who is the speaker, and that also allows one speaker at a time. So I thank everyone in advance. At this time, I would ask if anybody would like to make some public comments. Please do let me know. You can also send me a message on the chat so that I can put you on the list. I will go ahead and take the roll call of the AAC members. The roster is as follows. Elver Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles?
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy? I see Rico is here with us. Deborah Fisher?
I'm present here.
Thank you. Thank you both. Melanie Jackson? Steve Caffin?
Present.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mary Kay McMahon?
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazel?
Present.
Anthony Oberg? Anthony email might be delayed this afternoon, so we do know that. Phil Posner?
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray?
Quite anymore. That was from a couple years ago. That was in
What is that?
Paul Summerford. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simono. All right, that concludes the roster for today's Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting. I would request everyone to please keep yourselves on mute unless speaking. It helps us avoid any external noise and it brings clarity to the person who is speaking. I would go ahead and read the agenda for today's meeting. And that is as follows. While I bring the agenda, I just want to remind everyone if you have any comments, if you'd like to make public comments, please do let me know in advance. We just completed the roll call for today's Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting at 4:05. We will go ahead with the review and approval of the today's meeting agenda and prior meeting minutes. At 4:10, we have Metro Bus Routes Changes. Jim Hambry and Albert Himes will provide that. 4:35, we have rail announcements. Donald Goings and two other members will be giving us update on that information. At 4:55, we have Williams Jones from Arlington Transit. At 5:15, committee discussion. The topic is electronic messages in trains and buses. At 5:30, we have ombudsman report. 5:45, we have public comment period. And 6 o'clock, the meeting will adjourn. Chair Calabria, did you have any amendment for today's meeting?
Yes, I think we ought to take some time after the guests to discuss the budget hearings. Two members have testified, but there are other questions about the effect of... so if we could save some time for that, and I would suggest that around 5:25, 5:30, we could take 10 minutes or so to hear from those who testified, and also the effects of the coronavirus stimulus budget and the budget possible increases from our local jurisdictions.
Okay, thank you. I would ask you to move the meeting forward, Chair Calabria, at this point. You have the floor.
You've heard the agenda and some comments about adding a budget discussion to it. All in favor of the agenda, please say aye.
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 Hearing no objections, the agenda as discussed will be, is approved. Now we go to our let me just mention that today's International Women's Day, and besides the celebrities that we all know about from history, many of the women today in America, especially those who have been in the workforce and the single women who have been in the workforce and have had to return to take care of their children, are really in a tight bind. So we ought to keep them in mind, and whatever we can do, let's try and press forward with trying to
Tino,
the situation. Yes.
This is Pat. If I could make an announcement, or if I could make a suggestion, visually impaired people at the meeting tonight, and so anyone who is making a presentation, if you've got elements of that presentation that are visual, you want to explain that presentation so a person like me who's listening or on Zoom but not able to see the video, so that I could get a full understanding of what that presentation is. I'd appreciate that.
Good point. Thank you, Patrick.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
So let's move forward with the agenda. And Jim Hamery and Albert Himes are first on regarding Metrobus route changes. And I'm sure Steve wants to hear about that.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Himes. I'm the manager of the service development branch of our Office of Bus Planning and Scheduling. Jim Hamery may also be joining in a few minutes. He was tied up in another meeting, but he'll be joining in a few minutes as well, possibly. But anyway, we wanted to take the opportunity to, share with the service improvements that we're planning to make for schedule changes that are going to be taking effect this Sunday, March 14th. All of those changes are currently posted on Metro's website. So there's a number of improvements. You don't necessarily want to go through item by item on these, but I can provide the more significant highlights of what's changing, and then allow any time for questions on additional things about bus planning and scheduling. But for March, we're fortunate to be in the position where we're able to make a number of improvements to the service that's currently operating. There's quite a few lines that we're making schedule adjustments to make the time that's printed on the schedule more accurately reflect the amount of time it's taking the buses to make the trips. So therefore, the reliability of our service will improve. And then there's several lines where we're adding back some service that you know, currently is not operating, mainly focused on the weekends, trying to get, you know, restore some additional weekend service that's not currently operating. So it will highlight those weekend service routes. So we'll be restoring service on Saturday and Sunday on the D2, the Glover Park DuPont Circle line. Also on the E2, the Ivy City Fort Totten line, the G2 P Street LaDroit Park line, the M6 Fairfax Village line, the X8 Maryland Avenue line, the C14 will get restored Saturday service. That's the Hillcrest Heights line. They did not have Sunday service prior to the pandemic on that line. So that's why that's just Saturday. That's fully restoring the weekend service that they did have. The H12 Marlow Heights Temple Hills, that full Sunday schedule will be restored. Right now we're only running a partial Sunday schedule. The R12 Kenilworth Avenue will get, the Saturday service will resume, and that's another line that did not have Sunday service pre-pandemic. So that's the full weekend service being restored. The T14 Rhode Island New Carrollton will have the Sunday service restored. Saturday has been running on that. The V12 District Heights Suitland will have the Sunday service restored, and that is also one where the Saturday service is currently running. And then we also have the NH2 National Harbor Alexandria, the weekday service, the weekend, the Saturday and Sunday service will be restored. So those are the main highlights for March, you know, and then there'll be additional improvements that we're talking about for June as well. So anyway, I'm happy to take any questions or comments that anybody might have at this time on our service, you know, future service improvements or any other issues that they would like bus planning and scheduling to consider.
Mr. Himes, could you mention what will be the status of the 30 series buses that goes into 7 and 8, the low income areas of the district?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're making adjustments to the running times on those to, you know, better improve the on-time performance. You know, we're not adding any additional service at this time on those. Those lines are already pretty well served, even compared to pre-pandemic levels right now.
Very good. So those are the 30 series buses that start in Friendship Heights and go into Southeast.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, that, you know, those already have, you know, they're fairly close to the pre-pandemic service levels already on those 30s line, because, you know, they're definitely one of the core routes of the system. So they've maintained a decent amount of service throughout the pandemic.
Any members with questions for Mr. Himes?
Calabria, we do have three people who would like to ask questions. First is Phil Posner, followed by Steve Caffin, and then I see Barbara Melville. Dr. Posner, go ahead.
And Mr. Himes, thank you. Always good to see increases in routes. I have a question of what's being done to handle the shutdown of the Blue Line, which is about to take place. Are you going to be running shuttles or parallel routes or increased number of buses to replace the trains?
Are you speaking about the Arlington Cemetery side or the out to Largo Town Center?
Well, evidently both of them are being shut down at various times during the platform reconstruction projects. The Arlington side is going to be shut down first, I believe.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know if I froze up for a minute or if others did, but as far as the blue line, there is a shuttle for the service out on the Largo Town Center side that replaces that rail service that's not operating. As far as Arlington Cemetery, there wasn't much as far as additional service enhancements out there, because you can still make the connections through the rail. Though I believe there is a shuttle to the cemetery. I would need to look up and see exactly what the details are on that, though. I've not specifically been working on that project myself.
Great, thank you.
Steve?
Yeah. Hi, Al. Steve Caffin here. Hi.
Hey.
Sorry, no face. just
no problem. Yeah.
I hope that in the future you'll take a look at restoring bus number 42's frequency. If necessary, reduce the frequency of bus number 43, which was significantly expanded in August. Bus number 43, as you know, before August, was a rush hours only Monday through Friday service. And bus number 43 bypasses all of the DuPont Circle stops. And at the present time, that whole line has a significant portion of riders coming from DuPont Circle. And it will increase as ridership returns to normal and people use the DuPont Circle North station, both persons with disabilities for the elevator there and commuters to make the switch. I would hope you could consider, if nothing else, having the 43, let's say, as a Monday through Friday daytime bus service, just using bus number 42 when DuPont Circle is much more open and it's easily accessible and easily used by bus. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Those changes to the 42 and 43 line were the result of a service evaluation study. So that's, a more extensive process that we go through to take a look at the performance of different bus lines within the system. And the recommendations, which that conversion of some 42 trips to turn them into 43 trips, that was the result of an extensive public process that we looked at on that line and, what to recommend as far as improvements. A lot of those recommendations were made right before the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit. So we really haven't had the chance to evaluate, how that performance that we implemented works in a more normal situation. But I would say that, those changes, were made as part of a significant undertaking that we do in bus planning and scheduling. So,
Al, could I just make mention of that? Because I've heard that a number of times, and I actually know the survey because I participated in it, and that was done in the middle of 2018, and the survey never discussed a reduction in 42, but rather the survey specifically said, would you like a more expanded express service for commuters, for people who were currently taking the 43. But the survey never discussed a reduction in 42 and was done in 2018. I doubt if DuPont Circle is going to be congested for the next year, given the current situation. That's an old survey, and perhaps you'd like to you know, update the findings at this point in time?
I mean, we certainly can take that into consideration, but you know, I would note that, you know, those changes were made based on, you know, an extensive evaluation process, which also included a significant amount of public input into that process. But, you know, I'll take those comments into mind, and you know, we'll, you know, continue to evaluate it and reassess, like we do with all of our service changes, where we continue to reevaluate the performance of our service.
Thanks, Al. Thanks.
Barbara?
Hey, thanks so much for coming in today. I really appreciate you guys thinking about improving service on bus lines. I am concerned because I took the time to read the 98-page report, which is the FY22 proposed Metro Bus Service Changes document. And I wanted to bring to your attention that there doesn't seem to be much in your criteria about people with disabilities who use the bus and the rail. And those people are going to be severely impacted if you guys choose to cut those routes, because in the report, it says things like entire line is eliminated, and I'm quoting from it, alternative service, there is no alternative service between X and Y streets. Customers would have to walk up to 0.8 miles to bus route X bus stop along X Boulevard. And another example, alternative service between X and Y streets and X Metro Rail station is available on modified route X. That's kind of a lot to be asking of people with disabilities who are already, frankly, busting their butts to try and use bus rail. And I'm just really afraid that if we don't start to address this more, these people are going to go on to the paratransit, which of course is very costly for their taxpayers and Metro. So, I mean, because you're looking at, when you're talking about walking, that's 0.8 miles times two, really, because they're going to be taking a round trip. And then there's the additional walking, which is to and from the bus stops. And you take a person with, you know, vision loss, they can't find those bus stops that easily. Someone with a cognitive impairment, I don't know that they can process all of these changes and modified routes. And so I just want to throw that out there for the BRS and AAC and Metro as a whole to be aware of. There are solutions out there. I think that we don't have much time for FY22, I don't think, but I mean, as a solution, you could give those folks who are not able to use the bus rail in that state, give them the temporary Metro access eligibility, like you've done when the bus bridges are kind of hard to find. But I'm looking long term and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to impact everything, you know, paratransit too, because people are going to be coming over there and that's kind of hard now. You know, there's longer term solutions, but I want to impress upon you the dire need to not leave these folks out. They live there near a bus stop for a reason. That is taking away, you know, from them, in theory, if there are cuts and reductions in service. So we cannot leave out this population. There's this middle group who is not using or eligible for the paratransit, and then they don't really fit in the group of the non-disabled group either. So if you're going to cut, I would say cut everything equally so that no matter what the ridership levels are, because, you know, you want to preserve that paratransit for those that need that, and also these people who don't have a car, they can't afford to do the ride share and stuff like that. It's looking like these changes because of pandemic are going to be permanent. I talked to some people in the federal government workforce, and they're like, wow, they're not going to be going back, you know, maybe ever. They're going to be given permanently the choice to work from home. And that means that your numbers are going to go down. So on the ridership end. So if we just cut a little bit to everybody, then we're going to save these people's jobs and that sort of thing. So I really would like, you know, for AAC BRS to have a full-fledged discussion about this sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Mr. Himes?
All I would say that, you know, a 50% service cut is tough any way you slice it. You know, we do feel like, you know, we tried to prioritize as best as we can. We know that a 50% service cut is going to affect people. There's no way around that. You know, it was tough all around. I don't know that there is a good solution to a 50% service cut. Hopefully some things will happen that we're not going to get to the point of having to implement that schedule. I would note that the service that, you know, we're planning to be in starting in the summer will provide almost all the coverage that we had pre-pandemic, other than a very small amount of exceptions. And hopefully that will be the schedule that we're continuing to build on into the future, that, you know, provides all that coverage that we currently have. And then we can continue to increase the levels of service as we start to get demand and where we have that demand on that coverage that we plan to have starting this summer.
Jim, I don't know. Has joined us. Jim, I don't know how much you might have heard prior to your coming on board, but.
Good afternoon, everybody. I apologize. I've got overlapping meetings. But what Mr. Himes just indicated, I would concur with 100%. Remember that the board is making decisions in a certain time frame, and when the context of those decisions change, then their decisions change. And so we'll have to see how the impact of the American Recovery Act changes the forecast for, you know, what we're able to fund in fiscal in the second half of fiscal 22.
Well, you're not in business to make a profit, and you just can't leave these people hanging with no way to get around. It's just, again, really concerning me. And if you could put that in your criteria,
well,
and have a plan.
I agree. We have a public service purpose, but bottom line still has to be covered. And that is buses don't run without funding behind them. And this is why the public hearing is a good opportunity for you and the members of the public to indicate what their priorities are in terms of frequency and convenience versus coverage and span, and how to structure conversations like this, because these are unprecedented times, but this probably won't be the last time Metro talks about limited resources and service adjustments.
Barbara, do you have any specific line?
I just wanted to confirm along Barbara's line that in the past, when decisions were made, and they've usually been good decisions, you've always taken into account the number of Metro Access passengers that were going to be affected in a region, as well as senior citizen homes, health facilities in the region, as well as jurisdictional redundancies. So that usually when something is changed, there isn't a desert that's created. with no bus, rail, or anything else, and whether you also have the ability to put in some microservice in areas that do become a desert, so you can get them microserviced over to the main routes.
You know? Yeah, I think the microservice is it right there, Phil. You hit it. What I need to say to you is that these people that I'm talking about are falling through the cracks, if you will, because they are not. You mentioned metro access. You mentioned people in the nursing homes, senior homes and stuff like that. These are not the people I'm talking about. These are ones who are conditionally eligible for paratransit. They are ones who have the reduced fare card, which means, you know, they can get around, but they still, it doesn't eliminate the fact that they have some issues. So they're kind of like a huge silent majority, if you will. I don't know the exact numbers of the cardholders and all that, but they, trust me, I mean, if you take away those buses, they're going to be right on your doorstep there applying for the metro access, and I can't blame them. But we work very hard to get the lighting straightened around and, you know, do our best to help metro with that, and we want people to take the bus rail so they can be more independent and stuff like that. And we can't, they can't do that if they don't have the bus route.
Barbara, that's great. You need to do that at one of the hearings, if not more of the hearings. And I just wanted to confirm that, you know, the way that the final decisions are going to be made based on money is going to take into account the sorts of deserts and people that are going to be damaged, as Barbara is speaking.
We cannot increase bus service in one area and eliminate it in others.
That's true. The context of how decisions get made is complex and does require an analysis of equity. Some of the points you're talking about are included in that memo. It's published, so the board is informed when they are giving final concurrence to whatever service plan. Mr. Himes and his team have done, I think, a really good job of trying to balance access and mobility, coverage and convenience, while recognizing that, you know, this economic exercise of cutting $170 million of service in 6 months means that there will be areas that don't have service. And Barbara, you make a really good case, and you should make that case to the board at a public hearing.
I will do that and write something. Thank you.
Even better.
Are there any other questions regarding
I see Doris has her hand up. Doris, go ahead and make your comment.
Doris?
Doris, you're on mute. So I would ask for you to unmute yourself. You can press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you can speak.
Hello?
Yes, Doris, speak.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing all of you. So I don't know what that is or why that is, but so I'm sorry for the delay. I want to second everything Barbara has said, and more, because there is a problem here. Like she says, people with disabilities who use rail and bus, and particularly bus, are the silent majority. We might not have even applied for metro access, and consequently, somehow it appears we are not counted as persons with disabilities, and we need the AAC as a whole to be advocating for us. And particularly in Northern Virginia, I will say that on a normal basis, before COVID, we were getting bus routes either changed, service reductions, or eliminated. And at public hearings on the budget in even previous years, I guess the most previous year was 2020, I think. Maybe Phil will remember because we were both at that meeting, and people were out there in large numbers to say, you're cutting my service, you're eliminating my service. And so I think that it's very important for us as a community to say that there are a large number of people, and even my own bus route has been cut back during the pandemic to Sunday only service. You cannot, the authority, I guess my point here is this, the authority has been basing its cuts on demand. And basing cuts on demand during the pandemic is an unfair, inequitable way of assessing what demand is going to be and what bus service is going to be as we are now transitioning from pandemic to a more normal kind of environment, and people start going back to work, and waiting until after all that happens is going to keep people, able-bodied or disabled, away from the bus service. And the bus service is the heart of the majority of the geography in the whole service area. It's not just the metro corridors. So, yes, I will be at the hearings to say that, but I hope I'm not alone in that, and I hope the AAC will remember those of us who have disabilities but are using fixed route and who are actually saving a lot of money for the authority. Thanks.
Not just people with disabilities, but seniors as well. Jim and
Tina, why can't I hear you very well? I don't get it.
Are
you using a speakerphone, maybe?
No, I'm unmuted. I'm using my computer. I'm sorry that you can't hear me. Anu, do you have any suggestions? I don't know what I can do to.
I believe now that you moved a little closer, it's slightly better.
Okay.
This is better.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious as to what extent the bus transformation project, which took a couple of years to produce, is that just being disregarded because of the current budget crisis and the pandemic and that sort of thing? Jim or Al?
Well, there's actually a lot of work that's going on within the agency in the anticipation that things will rebound and will be faced with some of the same challenges that led to the bus transformation study. Al's been specifically involved in a couple of different projects. So Mr. Himes, if you'd like to describe them.
Yeah, So I mean, the first part of the bus transformation project that we actually just implemented recently is, the approval of bus service guidelines. I mean, we did have some guidelines that dated back to basically 1999, 2000, when they were approved. And we significantly expanded upon the measures in those guidelines and have new guidelines that were approved by the board in December of 2020. Those are currently available on Metro's website under the initiatives tab on the website, as well as finding those guidelines in that location. There's also our first annual line performance report, and that's over 1,000 pages worth of performance information on all of our bus lines in the system. And those performance reports and the guidelines, the intention is to evaluate all of the bus service that we're operating and make sure that routes are performing against the guidelines that we've established and identify areas where we need to make improvements in order to come in compliance with those guidelines. And then there's also measures in there to evaluate each line in the system and its value to our network overall. And that network value includes several things, some items including access and equity and stuff like that. So it's a way to evaluate the service that we're operating and not solely focus on, the ridership and the productivity and the cost efficiency measures, but also recognizing that, access and, the value that those lines provide to the network, that those are important factors as well. So that's the first phase of what we've been working on. The second phase of what we've been working on is, we've been doing some initial work on the bus transformation study talked about, the possibility of, looking at our bus network and looking to see how we might redesign our bus network to better meet the needs of today and make sure that, we're operating the network that best serves the environment that we're currently, have right now today in today's market. Not today's market as far as a pandemic market, but basically pre-pandemic or, where we expect to get now once, everybody's vaccinated and, we start to level off to what the new normal is. We're working on, some initial discussions of what a scope for that project might look like and planning to, for a significant process to take a look at that. And, a project that large, the timeline that we're looking at is that, it's probably going to take us 2 or 3 years to really effectively evaluate the bus network and take the time that we need for, because there's a lot of public involvement that needs to be done as part of that process and several phases of the project. So sort of mapping out what that timeline is and scoping out all the things that we would need to look at in a project like that. So we're in the very preliminary stages of that. Also, as far as bus transformation initiatives, there's another group within the authority that is also working on a number of the other measures that have been identified, working with the jurisdictions on transit priority measures and things like that, and trying to promote and continue moving on progressing on those types of things too, such as bus lanes, traffic signal priority, access issues to the service, and a number of other issues that were identified in that study.
Al, is this an extension of the bus transformation project, the work you're talking about?
Yeah, these are all items that were identified in the bus transformation project and, building upon that. And in some cases for these larger items, moving into a phase for a specific project to deal with those items that were addressed more broadly as part of the bus transformation project.
Yeah, more specifically, the board adopted a resolution that had 10 action items in it. And so Al was describing progress on those items. And of course, we didn't just discover these things last spring. So a lot of these have been projects we've been working on for many years. And we're just glad to see some of them come to fruition now.
all of this, of course, is constrained by budget. You know, many of us believe that public transportation is a social need, especially for the people that Barbara has been talking about and Phil has been talking about. And as a social need, I almost would be prepared to say it's a civil right that people have to public transportation. If it were a civil right, the budget constraints would be viewed a little differently. There's no way we can go into that now, but if it is a civil right, we really have to think in terms of governmental budgets and governmental services and how they meet the civil rights of people who have disabilities and seniors in terms of these social needs. Any other comments by people, members?
Chair Calabria, it is 4:46 at this point.
Yes, and it is now time for Donald Goings. We thank you, Jim and Al, for coming and for trying to answer the questions we have and within the constraints of the budget that you face. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Yeah, Donald, Mr. Goings, is he on?
I do not see, I believe Ronald Lewis is on with us.
Mr. Goings is jumping on shortly. I just reached out to him. So, also, we have project manager for the 7K series train, Dave Sauter, is also on.
Well, do you want to start? And could you identify yourself again?
Yes, I'm Ronald Lewis. I am the operations support manager in the Office of Rail Transportation. I know Mr. Goings had been in contact, and we are here to support him. So you might want to wait for him to kind of get on.
In the meanwhile, Phil, at our last, at your last meeting of the full AAC, you identified the wayfinding as a particular subject we should address. And wayfinding, I guess, overlaps with the rail announcements, which Donald and Ronald are to be talking about. Am I correct? Would wayfinding have some relevance to these announcements? Bill?
Well, wayfinding is a technical term, and I'll let Patrick and David talk about that. It has to do with beacons and technology and whatever, but wayfinding in a general term that I use is finding someplace in the station or finding where you're going. And so, yes, announcements are important as part of that. So you know what train is coming, when it's coming, what track it is coming on. And so that is part of the entire universe of wayfinding, as opposed to the narrow technical thing that we have also been talking about, using beacons and cell phones and vision aids. And I see Mr. Goings has arrived.
Very good. I agree with you on that also, Phil. I think wayfinding is an area that we're all interested in. I know there's a lot of indoor and outdoor GPS going on, but we will, you know, we will be happy to talk about that at a later date. That's pretty exciting stuff, though. Good.
Well, now that you're here, do you want to start your presentation? Donald?
You're on mute.
You have to unmute.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry about being late. I got tied up doing a couple of things, but okay. You asked me to come to talk about where are we when it comes to our train announcements at the platform and the sequencing of these announcements at that platform. Is that correct?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Rail announcements.
All right. And
Goins, this is Carol Lopez. I believe that the original request for you to come here is because there was an automatic door. It had to do with how the announcements have been modified, if any, due to the auto door effort.
When the automatic door opening came in, there'd be a shorter period of time between the doors opening and the announcement flowing. We were going to be losing that, I believe, 25 seconds to make announcements. And so the question was the sequence of announcements as to when they're coming in, what was most important to the disability community, which is which train, what the next stop is, and which direction is, as opposed to moving to the center of the car. And how all that was going to be changed when automatic door opening was implemented.
And our office had reached out to several offices, and we were told that this effort was not going to change the announcements at all, because the trains actually stop automatically, but the doors closed are closed by the operator. Therefore, the time of announcements doesn't change. And I think the committee was very concerned about that. And this happened a little while ago. So if you could talk a little bit about that, that'd be great.
I'll be honest, there hasn't been a change since the automatic door announcement. Mr. Lewis, could you help me with that? Is that correct?
The committee is referring to Red Line service. We did reinitiate the auto manual doors process on the Red Line in January only. And with that process, doors open automatically once that train is properly berthed on the platform. So when the train is properly berthed on the platform, the doors will open automatically. Traditionally, the operator would berth the train. There would be a 3 to 5 second lull period. So the operator identifies the actual platform side, then they would initiate the door openings. That may be some time that may be lost, but those door announcements didn't start until the train operator initiated that doors open button. Since the doors open automatically, once the train is properly berthed on the platform, that announcement will be initiated at the same time when the doors start to open. And I know Dave Sauter, who's a project manager for the 7K, may have a little bit more insight into that process, but I think that is what I'm
doing. This is Dave Sauter. Yeah, that's accurate, Ron. That is an accurate description. So there's been no change in the automatic announcement system counter any changes from the auto doors initiative.
Okay. I'm not sure that answer.
I guess to rephrase it, the automatic announcement system functions the same way, whether you're in manual doors or in automatic opening doors.
And the part that I wanted to maybe say again, because as I spoke to several people, not everyone knew that the auto door opening means that you're opening the door automatically, but not the operator still has to close the door. So the amount of time so the operator, if they see someone trying to get in the train, they're not going to close the door on them. They are the ones that control the closing of the door. So the announcement hasn't been shrunk or anything like that. And I just wanted everyone to be aware that that hasn't changed.
Right, but the question that we've always had is, during rush hour in particular, quite often the train driver will close the door before the announcements are completed. And we have always pointed out for the vision impaired people, it's critical that they know which train they're getting on, which line, particularly on the transfer stations, like Rosslyn or Long Island Plaza. So it's important that the very first thing that is announced is the color of the train, red, yellow, blue, or green, the direction of the train, and the end point. Those are critical so that if the driver cuts the announcement short, which they do quite frequently in rush hour, they at least know what train they're getting on and not left standing or getting on the wrong train.
That's understandable. I also run the compliance group for train operators, and my group frequently monitors trains station stopping as well as the door operations. And one thing we do monitor is operators cutting off announcements. So anyone who is found to be non-compliant with the SOP, which does state that the announcement should play in their entirety, they are referred to the management for corrective actions. But the practice of cutting off announcements should not take place in the field. If an operator does see that they need to close the doors, they are supposed to manually finish those announcements and then close the doors. They should not leave customers wondering, you know, any information that would have been conveyed by those automated messages. They should make them manually if they have to do so.
Are there any questions about this from members?
Yeah, I have my hand up, Tina.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't see. Yes. So, yes, Patrick.
Thank you, Tina. So the question that Phil asked is, did you see our recommendations? I think we actually had them out, what, 2 years ago or something?
We did.
About the order of the announcements on the train.
Yes.
Have you seen those recommendations?
Mr. Goings?
Yes.
Okay. And are those recommendations, can we make those changes on the train so those recommendations could be implemented?
Well, we can make most of them. The ones that have given you the biggest, you like to hear what direction it is and where they are first, correct?
First we want to know is the line.
The line, right.
Okay.
Right. Direction. The line and the direction. Or the two.
Line and the direction, right.
And you wanted those two up front so that a rider could make a decision whether or not they need to board this train or not, correct?
Correct. We don't need to hear the announcement about the last one on the list would be proceed to the middle of the car. We don't really need to hear that. But I think those first two are critical. And I mean,
should we send you the list again?
You can.
Okay. What we'd like to know is when we can expect to see those announcements
reordered,
updated announcements input into the system. I mean, that's what we have not heard over the last couple of years. Appreciate the fact that you want to do it, that you will do it. That's great, but we just need to know when.
I wanted to. Unfortunately, I'm trying to find, because when this all came about, this is Carol Lopez, when this all came about, I went on the field and I actually taped the announcement. And the announcement says, particularly in the red line where this was being activated, announcement does say, that still say go towards the center of the car, but it does say what kind of train it is, red line train, on right. The direction of Glenmont or the direction of Shady Grove. And then, and I'm trying to find the exact dialogue, but it does say all the things that the committee has requested. It might not be in the right, in the exact order, but it does say all of that. And
it's, if they're cutting the announcements off, then you don't hear it.
Okay, so is that this a recent experience though? Because I know that the committee has asked, one of the things when I showed this to my staff, and I unfortunately can't pull it up, they told me that perhaps the doors were, after all the announcements were completed, that's when the doors closed in each situation that I viewed. And it could have been that I was the only person on the train, or the one of the three people on the train in this pandemic area during rush hour. And so the operator closed the doors.
Carol, I just want to interrupt you for a second because you asked a good question. So if you can, let's let the members tell us. I mean, are they reporting what they've heard recently? Or are we going back to the way it was so that we can know if this is a current phenomenon so that the people who are here can address it? Or are we not necessarily personal experience or reported experience from others recently, but we're just trying to address the longstanding concern of the committee?
Well, it's been a longstanding concern, and I must admit, this is Tino. I haven't been on a bus or a train in over a year, and I'm not sure when I will be, so it can't be based on my personal experience. I'm sorry that Anthony isn't here. Steve is here. They were heavily involved with Patrick in the announcements order. Steve, do you have any comment?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I'm on our news list. Thank you. Mr. Goings, yeah, I've been on the committee for 6 years now. I think for almost half of the years, we've been talking about this and maybe got involved with you in the last couple of years. Here's the issue. The issue is this. Ever since Metro added about 8 or 9 years ago, a 7-second announcement that comes in the middle of key announcements that people need to hear, a lot of Metro riders have been very frustrated. And the reason is that the 7-second announcement that says, please let the people on the train get off first before you get on. And when boarding, please move to the center of the cars. It's, you know, I hate to use the term gratuitous, but the people who are leaving the train and the people who are boarding are not listening to this announcement. And you and we all know that we're not having, after 10 years, any effect on people moving into the center of the car. I also have to tell you, I know a lot of rail systems in the country and throughout the world. We're the only one that has this 7-second announcement that makes it difficult for people who are listening to other key announcements, such as what Patrick mentioned and Doris has mentioned and others have mentioned. So the question is, if we are stuck with that 7-second announcement, can at least be sequenced at the end so that the key announcements are read up front?
Very well said.
Okay. Mr. Lewis and I, and we will work toward this. So let me get this correct. There is an issue with operators cutting off their first part of the announcement at times, correct? Am I right?
Yes, that is. Yes, that is. Yes, but you okay. know, but yep. it is,
you would like to move the 7-second sequencing to the end of the announcement so that people will find out what direction they are, where they're going. And and that is one of the concerns. Right now it's in the middle, is that correct?
That's right. Now, also, Mr. Goings, let me just tell you, if it's moved to the end and it's 11 o'clock at night and there's very little traffic, I don't think it will risk anything to have that 7-second announcement cut off if the key announcements have already been made.
All set.
All right. So when would you like me to get back with you on this answer?
Well,
as soon as you can.
Tina, what do you think?
Patrick, did you?
Appreciate that. That would be great if we could get those announcements. Phil, did we miss any of the, you kind of framed it well at the beginning. Did we miss anything as far as sequencing of what we need to hear up front? Maybe we lost Phil.
Phil, you're...
This is Doris.
Oh, Doris? Yes, go ahead, Doris.
Yeah, because I had my hand raised. Thank you. I want to say that I've been on the committee for some time. This came up 3 to 4 years ago, and we spent time, we were asked by WMATA staff, we spent time drafting a sequencing of the announcement, word for word.
Yeah.
And we sent it on. Now, to sit here in 2021 and to hear that this hasn't happened and to see it on the train line, I keep hearing about Red Line. I can assure you that I've had incidents happen on green, on yellow, on blue, on orange. And I will reiterate what Patrick said, and it is beyond time that we need to know right up front. In fact, I thought the sequencing was supposed to be this. The train pulls up. The train says, blue line to Franconia Springfield, doors opening. And then the doors open. That gives people time, people who are blind, time to position themselves. And on the red line, when you're standing at Metro Center and you have to worry about all the people that are on the train track with you, if you know that the train is going, that it's a red line train versus a green line train, you as a blind person can step back and not get hurt trying to get into a train that's already overpacked. And I spent 2 hours coming back from a trip to College Park on a Saturday, I might add, and getting on the wrong train because announcements weren't made and there was no one there to ask, going to Anacostia, coming back, and then getting on what I thought was an orange line train, and instead it was a silver line train. This is beyond overtime, and so consequently, I don't feel there's any time to wait. And I am of a mind to say to the chair, I move that we make some immediate communication, either with the general manager or the board even, to get this taken care of and have a timeline. Because the last time staff came before this committee and said, oh, we didn't know, we have, and this was maybe last year or maybe even in the fall of 19. Oh, we didn't know, we haven't done it yet, we're going to get on it. And now we're hearing this in 2021. And I just personally, as a rider, can't take it anymore. So that would be a motion for me if it were seconded, and of course, if the chair thought it appropriate, because I can't wait anymore for this. Darcy, and continue to use the train.
We really appreciate what you've said and what you've gone through. This is the bus rail subcommittee. I think it's a matter for the full advisory committee to take up for a motion if we do that. But I agree with you. This has gone on much too long. I haven't been on the board as long as you have, maybe 3 years. And in that time, it's come up several times. And when we did the bus rail handbook, the rail car design handbook, we outlined it again there in writing, and we presented it. And so you're right. It's overdue.
I hate to contradict the chair, but I think it's absolutely appropriate for this subcommittee to make that motion and pass it.
Pass it on to the committee.
Fine.
And I'm happy to second Morris's motion.
Okay, so we have a motion that was worded by Doris, and we have a second from Phil. Do I hear any discussion?
The only thing that, this is Pat, I'm finally saying my name. I'm sorry, I've said talked three times and not said who I was. Phil, did we miss anything as far as the order of announcements?
Thank you, that's what I wanted.
This is Phil again. I believe what we had said, the most important announcements are the color of the train, what line it is, the direction in which it's going, and what the next stop is.
Oh, that was the third thing. Thank you, Phil. Yes.
Well, before the doors open, as you're coming into the station, the conductor, the driver, always announces, this is, so the people on the train know where they are.
Phil, that's a very important point, because I know oftentimes I actually walk off the train to see what station it is and whether I need to get off or whether I get back on the train.
And in many of the stations, if there's another train in the stations blocking the signage on the walls, it's blocking the signage on the platform. So as the train is coming into the station, the driver and then after that, the next one is for the people getting on, and that is the color, the direction, and the next stop. Those are the criticals and the sequences that I believe we had all said needed to be.
Right. Okay.
And it's all built into the motion. We have a second. Can we have a vote now, please? All in favor?
I wanted to add to the discussion for a quick moment. This is Philippa.
Okay, thanks.
I had my hand up for a long time. That's okay. I just wanted to voice the same concern, especially when you have a track that has different color lines on it. And there have been, you know, if I'm standing, say, near the front of the train and the first car doesn't have on the side what the train is, or, you know, anything. And sometimes I've even had the announcement go, this is a, please stand clear of the doors. And I have no idea what the train is, where it's going. You know, I mean, I know which direction I'm trying to head, but so I just wanted to voice the same thing, that before they close, open and close those doors, that we get the information that we need. And I agree with the motion.
Well said, Philippa. Anybody else? If not, let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any objections? Hearing none, the motion is passed. We will communicate this to the board. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Steve.
This is Vanessa.
Thank you, Doris. Thank you. And thank you.
I thought you weren't in order enough.
No. I wouldn't go over nothing.
Thank you to Mr. Lewis and Mr. Goings also. We're running a little behind.
Chair,
yes, do I hear?
Senu, if I may, I would request everyone to please state your name first before your comments. The interpreters have requested that again, so I would appreciate if everyone can do that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order.
Yes.
This is Ansel Torres.
Yes.
It does not seem apparent that there is a quorum, and I'm not sure if you don't have a quorum that you can actually do a motion and have it pass successfully.
Mr. Torres, that is inappropriate at a subcommittee meeting. There is no question of quorums at subcommittee. The quorums are only necessary at the full AAC.
That is correct, sir, but how can you be conducting business without a quorum and have an official motion passed? That is unclear to me.
There's a motion from the subcommittee to go forward to the full committee, and we can confirm it at the full committee.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, and now it is 5:16, and Mr. William Jones has been waiting. Sorry for the delay, Mr. Jones. Are you on? Anu, do you know if Mr. Jones is with us?
I believe I saw him. Yes, Mr. Jones is on the line.
Yes, I see Mr. Jones. In fact, he just unmuted and he's talking.
Yes, Mr. Jones, could you start your presentation?
Mr. Chairman, I'm about to do so. I'm having some technical difficulties on my end because I'm not in the office conducting this presentation. So I'm going to please hold here a presentation. I was asked to come and share with you all.
Mr. Jones, I'm sorry, I don't stop, but your voice is coming very unclear.
Can you all hear me? Mr. Chairman, or Mr. New, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't know about the others, but I hear you now. Not before, but now.
Okay. My apologies. I was on one. And it appeared that it wasn't working during the last presentation. I was hearing a lot of breaking up on part of those who were commenting. And I'm being told that I'm cutting out significantly. I will try to do my best if it doesn't work. I'll ask permission of you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. New to come back another time in the essence of time. I do have a presentation to share.
Okay, you are breaking up, so if we could delay your presentation until a future meeting. But thank you for trying, and we hope to hear from you soon. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Anu, the next item, and we're on the almost on time for that, and that was the discussion of electronic messages, trains, and buses. And I think we can add to that wayfinding. Is that all right with, does that work, Anu?
So Chair Calabia, we do have a member of the public who would like to make some comments during the public comment section.
Do you want to do that now?
Well, that's up to you, however you would like to do. I just wanted to state that for the record. And you had also mentioned about speaking of another topic earlier. So yeah. You can inform me as far as how would you like to proceed further?
Well, according to the original agenda at 5:15, we were to discuss electronic messages, trains and buses.
Correct.
The committee was to discuss that. And yes. I added specifically wayfinding at the suggestion of Phil from the last meeting. Can we proceed with that?
Sure. This is a committee discussion, so please go ahead.
Yes. Phil, maybe you want to start. You asked us to look into wayfinding, and I did send out a couple of emails and one demonstration of it. But Phil?
Yeah, this is Phil Posner, and I'll defer to Patrick and to David Schaefer and then to you, because you three really have done the most. You've sent out the articles, and Patrick and David have been working on various processes over the years for wayfinding. So let me defer to you three to discuss it.
Excellent.
You know, this is Pat, if I,
yes.
I can.
You brought this up before.
Yeah, we have brought this up before, and we actually, several years ago, might have been 5, 6, 7 years ago, instituted a system in that we use partially in at WMATA called Click and Go, in consultation with Calamity Lighthouse for the Blind. We started a project. We did install beacons in several stations. And and you know, it was successful as far as it went. I don't know that it ever got extended past maybe 3 or 4 or 5 stations. But I will say that being visually impaired, there are a lot of systems out there right now, indoor GPS and outdoor and the. GPS systems outdoor that are very, very good. And so I know that there are several types of systems. I know that Microsoft has worked on some systems, and I've looked at 3 or 4 other systems out there. So the potential is there for getting a system that is very effective. The technology is there, and it has a tremendous ability to increase the navigation of people within the system and having them connect to points outside the system. You also then have other technologies, as I think Phil, you talked about, Ira, that allows you to do point by point navigation. If WMATA was interested in putting something like that together. So I think that there's an awful lot that can be done, Tino.
Yes.
There are lots of organizations and even some transit organizations in the country that are utilizing a lot of this a lot of this technology that is built on artificial intelligence, and it's really coming to the forefront a lot more accurate than it has been in the past, and much more widespread. So I very much am in favor of that. I think that you're seeing an awful lot of that incorporated into mobile technology. And so I'm excited to look forward to it. For anybody who is interested, and wants to find out more information on artificial intelligence and some of the technologies that are out there, I attended a 2 or 3 day conference virtually in December from a group called Sight Tech Global, SIGHT Tech Global. If you Google that, you will see an awful lot that's being done all with artificial intelligence, dealing with mobility with Microsoft and other major companies out there. It's well worth looking into. I would very much like to see this thing expanded, whether you're using it inside buildings or in transportation areas. There's an awful lot going on, and I fully support it. I think we would be going miles ahead of where we were with the click and go technology. So I will look at what you sent out, Tino. I think it's great stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a demo of an app that's for the New York MTA. But you know, this is a very opportune time for us to begin this, because with the rebuilding of so many stations, as was mentioned to us, I think by Tatiana, it may be opportune to install the equipment in the new stations, even though we might not get to older stations for some time. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't realized how much work you've been doing on this. I know that in your other capacity in Virginia, you've learned a lot. If you can help steer us in, besides looking at what I've sent, maybe the best of what you know about could be shared with the committee by email.
Okay. I think you never know what we'll, we never know what we can come up with, but I think it's something worthwhile to investigate and to put forward, and let's see what we can dream up in the next few months.
Yes, certainly as they're beginning to rebuild these stations, they can store at the same time, not having to retrofit it. Phil, you brought this up at the last meeting. Do you want to comment now?
Hello?
Phil? Oh, and then Doris.
Yes. I just wanted to ask Patrick, I guess. There's something, this application that that this kind of thing would work for, that I'm wondering might be some kind of a limited project that we might be able to expand to a number of stations as this. One of the biggest problems as a person with a vision impairment who it does a lot of traveling on the rail system and then needs to get on buses is identifying the bus bays at big stations where there are lots of mm-hmm. bus bays. Can something like this work for that? Just being able to identify where the 28A bus is rather than the 5C or whatever. And if you've ever had to travel out further in Fairfax County or to get on the Loudoun bus or Prince William bus at West Falls Church, you'll know what I'm talking about. There are, lots of bus bays, and it's nice that the information service tells me what number it is, the bus bay 5B or whatever. But finding it is a whole different thing, and I'm wondering whether, just looking at a project that will help people find their bus bay so that they don't miss the bus and have to wait 45 minutes or an hour for the next bus would really, really be helpful. Would something
Understood.
Like this?
Yeah, there is technology out there right now, still in the artificial intelligence arena. And I'm just beginning to scratch the surface on it and attend some podcasts and all. But I think that when you're looking at the technology to be able to, figure out what the transit system has in it, where the bus bays are and areas even surrounding the transit stations, what's around me, what's close by. I've seen a lot of apps that do that kind of thing. And it's a matter of, integrating that one piece into the whole that's important. And so I that's one of the things that I've gotten involved in a little bit with the organization I'm with, and I think they're starting to integrate that into not just a piece here and a piece there, but integrating that into a whole big picture. So I think that with the right companies and the right people running it, you can really put a good system together. I think the technology is that you just need organization and desire to make it happen.
Right. And I think we should do it as quickly as possible to take advantage of the new stations that are being rebuilt. And of course, there's one to be built from scratch, Potomac Landing or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. I did send out a demo yesterday, and it shows a low vision person using the app. And the demo relates to the New York City Metropolitan Transit Authority. There are surely others around. So Patrick, if you know of some, maybe you could help share them with the committee and we can move forward on this.
Stay smooth, currently.
I'll see what I can do.
Sure. Any other committee member that has a suggestion or a comment?
This is Phil again, and being greedy, as with Doris, I think we should request the same of the bus as we do of the rail. I know I often get out and there's a numbered bus on one side of the street, a numbered bus on the other side of the street. And if they don't tell me which direction they're going in, it's helpless. When I get out of the FDA headquarters, there's one bus that goes to Silver Spring and they just give me the number. And then on the other side of the street, a quarter of a mile away, is the bus that goes totally in the other direction. And there's no one to ask because nobody there takes the bus. They all drive their cars. And so it would be really nice if there were some sort of signage or directions or wayfinding that would identify the buses just like we asked for the trains.
And when you get to Silver Spring, the bus bays are on two levels. So you got to run up and down or take escalators if you go to the wrong level. So this is an issue that with the right apps, the technology, and Patrick knows of some, we should be able to come to this in a matter of months to make a recommendation to the board on. Any other comments?
Chair Calavia, this is Anu. Yes. Steve, said she would like to make some comments, and I do see Vanessa Coles has her hand up. Excellent. And to remind everyone, it is 5:31. So
yes, excellent.
Okay, this is Steve. I was going to make exactly the comment that Doris made and Phil made. I recently had to take a bus from Fort Totten, actually, to get vaccinated because it was the only community center I could find on the other side of town. And I reached the bus bay at Fort Totten and had a choice of 8 kiosks to choose from. I was looking for the E4, there was an E2, and I needed to know which origin and which destination to choose from. And I suddenly realized I was almost helpless without walking around myself and looking at each one in order to find my bus. So I certainly second what Doris and others have mentioned.
Great. Who is next, Anu?
Vanessa Coles had her hand up, but she has put it down, so.
Okay. Anyone else?
I see Doris has her hand up.
Okay, Doris, yes.
I'm here still. I put it down because you recognize me, so I put it down. But I did.
Hello.
Doris, we have Vanessa first. Thank you.
So I just.
I think that was from before I knew.
Okay, I will put your hand down then. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Once you recognize me, I just put it down myself. So.
Okay.
So my question, I was trying to ask it when the rail guy was there too, and then you discussed it on this subject about the intelligence, the drop-down display boards, and they were talking about the driver making the announcement. Is it possible for you to have those types of, from the ceiling, broadcast boards on the inside of the train, or is that just not cost efficient? Because, I guess it would have to be audible for, the people to be able to hear what the station is if they can't hear from the conductor.
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. I believe, Vanessa, your question is for rail announcement, correct?
For the intelligence that you're referring to? I guess I'm thinking about the same thing because I was trying to think of a way of how people can hear, because I used to take the subway too. That was a big issue trying to hear where I was, my next stop. And I know I noticed before I lost my sight, there were those drop down broadcast boards that was telling you where the next bus coming kind of thing. And I was just wondering if something like that would be cost efficient or maybe not, you're not able to do it on the inside of the car itself.
Okay. This is Anu again. Vanessa, I would be happy to share your question comments with the rail team. They are not
okay, longer so, on the call. Okay, that wouldn't fall under this kind of thing. Okay.
Right. So I will follow up with you as I
receive. He's just curious. Okay. Thank you, Anu.
Welcome.
Doris have her hand
35. I don't have anyone else with their hand up. Did you want to move ahead, move forward with the ombudsman report session?
Can we talk about the budget hearings at least briefly, since people still have a chance to prepare some remarks?
Sure.
Phil or
Steve? You can take a few minutes.
Yeah, I think Steve gave a very good, this is Phil again, Steve gave a very good introduction that if you call in and listen to the directions, if you tap two, the choice is to make a recording of what you want to say. And if you feel nervous about speaking live, then that's real easy. You can write your script beforehand and they just read it and you've made your announcement and it's on record and they have it. If you're feeling brave and you want to be seen and heard, then choose three and they will put you in the waiting room. And when your time comes up, the person running the meeting will announce the caller with the last four digits of their phone number is, and they'll give you your last four digits. And they say, please give your talk. And then go ahead and give your talk and you're ready to go. This time there was a little bit of a glitch in that both Steve and I, the first time, were muted and we couldn't give our talks live. And so both of us actually hung up and called back a second time, and the second time worked. It was the charm. Hopefully by tomorrow they will have practiced on Steve and me and seven or eight other people and be ready to roll. But, you know, please talk. It's important for them to hear it. It's face-to-face with the board. And if you want to replay it, you can see their faces and actually writing things down when you're saying things. So it's good positive feedback.
Phil, a nice thing about doing it by phone is that you can actually script it to make sure, first, that you stay within the time guidelines, and second, to be sure that you say what you want to say, which isn't always the case if you're live and in the boardroom.
I agree.
Phil and Steve, how about some recommendations regarding substance?
Well, I've already sent out talking points to everybody, so feel free to go back and look at those talking points. And if you want to, you can listen to what Steve said today and what I said to stay, because it's already posted on YouTube.
Yes. Well, some of the things that came up with the bus realignment should be taken into consideration. You know, ensuring that Barbara, you made a big point about what happens when buses strand people with disabilities and seniors. I guess we ought to urge that nothing like that really happens, not in any drastic way anyway. Anybody else have some points that they would like others to join in and reinforce in their statements? If not, I guess we can go to the ombudsman report. Is Dave?
Yep, is Dave still here? I'm here. So I don't have anything to report tonight from last month. This is my last BRS meeting, and I'll just say, you know, I've enjoyed working with all you people and listening to people experience, like tonight, Doris, the exact same things that I've experienced riding back and forth between blue, orange, and silver trains for quite a while to get to the one that had an announcement that I could hear. I did spend one day, an hour getting back from Federal Center because of that. I do enjoy working with you guys, and I've learned a lot from you all. And I hope that I've been able to share some things with you as well. And I have a feeling you'll still be hearing from me occasionally, and I'll be around, continue to work in the accessibility area, as well as the civil rights area. So it won't be a farewell for long. So thank you all for your support during these years and your faith in me. Thank you.
Your last meeting with us is next week?
Well, this is my last BRS meeting. I'll be on Metro Access next week.
Yes, so that'll be the last time you're on with us. We can wait till then to say a final goodbye.
Okay.
Just to share the expression that Dr. Posner is sharing for David, he is getting a prompt. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
I know I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
This is Anu. I was just sharing the expression that Dr. Posner was displaying on the screen. He was applauding for David Schaefer.
All right. Very good.
Yay, David.
Yay, David. Well, now we come to public comment period, and we're right on time with that. Anybody lined up for that?
Yes.
One question from Steve first.
Yes.
Steve?
May I make a quick comment, because a situation has just arrived as of, I think, about a week ago that I've noticed it. This will be very quick. The next bus information that we get on our cell phones, what has happened in the last week is that after you go to the bus site that you want, oftentimes the screen flips to a full page advertisement. And to get out of it, you need to click an X in the upper left corner. This has happened a number of times, and only in the last week. So I'm just raising this because it's new, and it may create a difficulty for people who are using their cell phones or smartphones to get next bus information.
So it's the next bus part of the next bus app. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the next bus app. And just in the last week, it looks like full screen commercial advertising suddenly appears, and you can get out of it, but you have to click a very small X in the upper left corner, and it's going to be difficult for some people to manage that. I'm just raising it because it's relatively new.
Are you talking about being on our website, the next bus portion of the website?
That's right. When you go onto a cell phone and you're searching for next bus on the website, on the app, actually.
Now, there's no reason that.
Oh, it's. I'm sorry, David. It's the app, not the website. It's the app.
Whose app?
That's right. Yeah.
Which app?
Yeah.
Which app?
Oh, the WMATA. Next bus, next rail app that you can download and use on your smartphones.
which developer? There's a bunch of them out there.
Oh, my goodness. I'm very sorry. I'm at a loss with that information.
David, this Phil, you might talk to Lynn Barisox because it sounds like they've sold advertising on the app, and that's why it's appearing. And it may be WMATA that has sold the advertising.
Is it a commercial app or a message from WMATA?
It's on the app that WMATA recommends to download to get next bus information. And in the past past 5 days, I've noticed that when I search for a specific bus, after about 5 seconds, it switches to a full screen advertisement.
Email David the exact app so he knows whether it's private or whether it's part of WMATA, and then he can find out whether it's WMATA that's selling advertising or whether in fact it's private advertising that's paying for the free app.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, go to the app store and go down when you get to the app. Go to the end and see who the developer is.
Okay. And then tell David.
Sure. I'll pass that to Anu after I check.
Okay.
Sure. Please do. Thank you. Okay. Chair Calabria, this is Anu. So for the public comment section, we have Ansel Torres who would like to make any comments. Mr. Torres, go ahead.
Yes, this is Ansel Torres. Couple of things. One, I have a question regarding the procurement of the web advisors, accessibility consultants. Was there a procurement process that was conducted in order to have a competitive bid on this? And if it wasn't, how was that done? How is that possible?
So the answer is yes, but there's a competitive bid for what we call a task order. And so Metro, like other big companies, use many consultant teams, and instead of a new solicitation for every consulting detail, what they did is there was a competitive bid for the agency that you would then use to go out and competitively find the providers of the specific consultation support that is needed. And that's how we did it, through a task order that was already competitively bid, that was already on contract with Metro.
Okay. And the other thing is that I need to get an understanding of how the committee deals with public comments that have been submitted. Within the past several weeks, I have submitted several comments specifically asking for responses from the committee. At the last BRS committee, I was asked to put my comments in writing and with the expectation that there would be a response of some sort, but none has been forthcoming. Am I to expect, or am I to understand, that there will be none forthcoming? And if that is the case, what is the point of me submitting public comments in writing as requested by the committee and there is no response? Thank you.
Well, somebody who is, and this is the chair of the bus rail subcommittee, as someone who is an individual and as a member of the committee who has sent comments to the WMATA board itself, I never received, nor did I necessarily expect that I would receive a written comment. I would just assume that they would take it into consideration. I have no reason to believe that it wasn't taken into consideration.
So are you saying that there will be no response to my, because many times I have submitted comments to the committee and they were responded to by the people who were tasked with the question, like Mr. Blake and several others. So I guess what I'm hearing is that the committee has no intention to respond or say anything. And even with WMATA, I have gotten responses as well to my issues if I address it specifically to that email that they have, board of directors. And I've actually gotten to speak to one of the board of directors and members of staff at WMATA. So what to me it sounds like is that my comments were either not read or considered in any manner. And I'm getting sort of a, well, you know, we'll take this under advisement kind of response, which means nothing is actually being done. That is the impression that it leaves. And so I'm not sure what is the point of making public comments if they are not going to be addressed in some way, whether yay or nay. I don't expect, you know, any or everybody to agree with me on anything. But at the very least, there could be some sort of response, whether it is yay or nay, agreement or disagreement with what I am expressing or requesting.
Well, let's say that we are not saying definitively that you won't get a response, but the response should come, it will come. And in many cases, as it is with the board, it's that we have taken your suggestions or comments into consideration and in advisement. So thank you for that.
Okay, so what is the point of anyone coming to a committee where they're supposed to get grievances addressed? Because it's not like the board. The board is a different kind of situation with the board. The AAC, if you read the bylaws of the AAC is supposed to be responsive to the issues addressed by the public. And I believe if you are not addressing them in any way, I don't believe that you are living up to the bylaws of the AAC.
Well, if you have a grievance, that's something else again. But if you're making a suggestion or recommendation or some statement of substance regarding issues that come here, don't believe that we are saying you won't get a response. But the response could be that we have taken it seriously under advisement.
This is Phil. I may be missing something, but I have read your written comments, and I have felt that the responses you've gotten from Mr. Blake have addressed everything that you have talked about, including the work that's currently being done to improve the website. The announcement at this very meeting, reminding all the presenters that we do have people that are vision challenged and they should be more specific in their presentations. And I personally, when I give my report to the board, I always make a comment that we have heard such and such from the public at our meetings. So, you know, let me know. I don't know what we've missed.
All right. The time is going out, and I will submit to you exactly what was missed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Are there any other members of the public, Anu, who have lined
Chair,
up?
Chair Calabria, this is, I know I do not have anyone else on the list for public comments. I do see Doris has her hand up. Doris, would you like to make some comments?
Yes, I was just going to comment that I think probably I support what, of course, Phil just said, but I wanted to make a distinction. I know that when the Metro Access Subcommittee was created, it was absolutely created as a vehicle for customers to be able to present issues and problems, and then staff, together with the committee, would resolve and report on them. And so when people are attending Metro Access, that's supposed to be a standard procedure that they hear back about their complaints. And just as I think Phil has described, it's kind of been a little bit different with public comment in the full committee and in Bus and Rail. It's more like public comment in most appointed bodies that you do hear about it, and hopefully you will see the committee and communicating with the board about issues that consumers raise, which is what's happening. But it's a little bit different from the public comment, for example, in the Metro Access Committee. And that's why that committee has a much more extended and very formalized public comment period. And I just wanted to make that comment, because it was the chairman of the WMATA board at the time the Metro Access Committee was created who actually made that a part of the mission of the Metro Access Subcommittee. Just wanted to bring that information forward.
Thank you. I should have said that historically I didn't know that, how the Metro Access Committee was set up and what purpose. Any other comments? We have a number of people who are visiting by Zoom. Does any of you, do any of you wish to make a public comment?
If I doubt on the public hearing.
Yes, Bill?
No, I'm saying I don't have anything to say. I'm waiting to go to the public hearing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Anyone else then?
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. I do not have anyone else's name on the list for public comments. I do want to remind everyone, if people want to make their public comments, they can do so by phone and or email. Our phone number is 202-962-1100. The email is metroaacchair@wmata.com. Anybody willing to send us their feedback, please do so, and we will be happy to share their comments.
Just a quickie, I'm looking at the closed captioning, and you just told them to contact the chairman at Walmart.
Every time it says WMATA, it types Walmart for some reason. Yeah. I've been noticing that, yes. okay, well, we do have, everyone has information how to join the public hearings. I believe everyone should have it. I have been sending that very diligently. So.
Yes, thank you for that.
Thank you,
Anu. Hopefully everyone does send a public comment. And it is 5:59. Do I hear any objections to adjournment? Having not heard any objections to adjournment, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tina. Good meeting.
Thank you. Excellent meeting.
Take care, everyone. Be safe.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you.
Evening, everyone.
Thank you, Anu.
Okay.
Thanks, Anu.
Steve.